super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Savage Saturdays and your deacon of debauchery, 42nd Street Pete.
Well, I'm home because I'm snowed in. I'm on the East Coast. Anybody watching the news knows I'm snowed in, and I want to make a public service announcement. Will someone please get Charlie Sheen the fuck out of my driveway? He's knocking on my door going, my God, I've never seen so much snow. This is great. Look, my face is all numb from it. I'm like, because it's fucking snow, you asshole. It's snow. It's frozen. It's 26 degrees out here. Oh, no, you're wrong. This is great shit. He ripped the fucking downspout off the side of my house. He's snorting fucking snow through my downspout. Somebody, please, he needs help. Get him the fuck out of here now, okay?
Poor Charlie.
Tell him to open a show, but he's got to go. He needs help. A man needs help.
Poor Chuck.
$1 million, what is he getting, $1 million an episode, $2 million an episode for doing that shit?
I don't know, man, but I've always liked him.
I like him too, but you know something? You're just Chuck being Chuck, but you got other people to worry about. You got Berta, you got your brother, you got little Jake, you got all those hookers you fuck on a regular basis, so yeah. There's other people involved, Chuck. Get off my fucking lawn and put my downspout back. Jeez.
Yeah, well, but you know, Chuck is the least of your worries with all the people up your ass these days.
Oh, that whole, you know something I had heard, and I'm telling you this because if you may want to do something about this, because, you know, I'm doing my own little thing with it, but that Cinemageddon's running the shit that I'm saying on a CD on the air here. So, which just proves what a bunch of untalented douchebags they are, because you think I'm something more original than copying me and using me, because that's all you can do. You're thieves, that's all. So, you know something? I'm letting it rest because I know what's going on and you're not going to like it. So, you know, you're not going to like it to the point where you're going to wish back in time that your mother actually swallowed, okay? That's how bad it's going to be.
Well, the thing is, if they're selling a CD of anything we produce here at Jackalope, it's property of Jackalope Media. And, you know, we have lawyers for that and it's going to be great. I love that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's on retainer. We'll just give him a call and see how it goes. But I hate to do that. But, you know, if you're going to be a douche.
Oh, fuck him. You know something? Everybody's doing something. If certain people are, you know, I can't say nothing. I don't want to tip anybody's hand. But there's some pretty powerful people getting ready to do some stuff. And like, you know, I said, I've done my whatever I can do on my end of it. And, you know, okay, they're using me for a poster boy. You know, we're going to fuck. You know something? Keep fucking me. Who cares at this stage of the game, dude? The bottom line is what all you little fucking micro fucking criminals don't understand is there's a money trail somewhere. You're getting paid. And the bottom line is you do something for any length of time, you get fucking caught. Just look at John Gotti. Look at everybody. Look at everybody who got caught. They all thought, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to get caught. You're going to get caught. It's that simple. When you're going to get caught, the domino effect's going to be fucking priceless. Because I'll be sitting here waiting for royalty checks from all those cocksuckers. So, hey, got a glass of wine in my hand. I got my fucking bong stuffed, and I got walking pneumonia, so I can't leave the house for like a week. But you know something? Fuck you. Merry Christmas.
Well, it's like some of these other online radio stations are making it very hard. Not a lot of people operate with integrity and honor, you know, and like, you know, we're out there trying to get sponsors for the shows and trying to do the right thing. You know, we've got an FM antenna getting installed here. We're getting ready to go full force FM. We're a legitimate radio station. We're trying to do the right thing and help everybody. We're not making any money, as you know. And yet these other guys are they're fudging their numbers. They're lying about listeners. I mean, they're sitting there claiming, yeah, you know, you had 50,000 listeners last night. Well, the thing is, I have software here that's actual broadcast software, and I can go and I can look at any server in the country. It doesn't mean I can log in or do any kind of, you know, unethical shit, because I wouldn't do it, but I can look at what's going on. And when they are only allowed on their stream 125 listeners maximum capacity, how in the hell are you figuring you got all – you know, it's just lie after lie after lie. They say they're affiliated with – or they say they're owned or they're played on large network radio. It's not true. And so what happens is these people who have advertised with them, they get burned. They spent this money. No one heard a thing because they only have 30 listeners a night. And suddenly they don't want to take the chance anymore. They got burned. Their money brought them zero results. So when it comes to us trying to get sponsors, like, look, we did it with this other group, a bunch of junk, you know, they were liars. Not only that, but a lot of the shows that are on their stations are losing credibility because people are finding out that it's lies and they think that these shows are in on it. And when you're doing a paranormal show or a conspiracy show, you count on credibility. People are listening to you, and you better have some credibility with subjects like that. And if you're over on one of these other places and you're getting, you know, the owners are lying and it gets, you know, people think it's you or that you're involved, you know, you lose your credibility. So I say operate with integrity and honor. Be honest in your business practices with each other. And you know what? Why don't you guys get off your asses over there at Cinemageddon and go make a movie of your own and sell it? Jesus.
Because they don't. This is one thing great about my show. It has no integrity. So,
well, your show, that's the scariest thing is your show has tons of integrity. You just say it out and you don't put up with crap. And that's the way it should be. And these guys, look, I can understand. We've all done it. You know, we all – headless eyes. Okay, I can't go down to the Best Buy or the Hastings and buy headless eyes. I'm going to have to get either a bootleg or I'm going to have to find an import from another country. So I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about here.
I got headless eyes. You should just send me a list of what you want because I probably got it.
Well, that's the thing. I found it. It was from Canada, so I had to get it imported from Canada.
Yeah, I got stuff that people traded me and gave me and things.
All right, that's different.
I got a Wizard videotape. I could have made you a copy of Headless Eyes, put black tape on it, letterboxed it. You'd be happy, you know.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, people need to understand that. It's one thing, you know, it's not even really good to do that if it's not available, but I can at least understand to an extent as a collector and a person who loves movies. Yeah, okay, I get it. I get it. You want that movie pretty bad and you can't get it anywhere. But it's another
nice fucking box, okay?
I do
too.
You know
something? Us talking right now is giving them five more fucking minutes of publicity they don't fucking need so they can blow me. Let's go on to bigger and better things.
You got
WSU results, you know, was last Saturday night. We got hit with a snowstorm Friday night, and I'm like, fuck, this is going to screw it up. I got into Union City 4 o'clock, and basically I didn't have to be there till 7. I found a parking space and was praying I wouldn't get towed. And all the girls showed up. We had about 100 people. Actually, a couple of our listeners, Nick from South Jersey, he made the show. He brought some people up. And let me tell you something. That ladder match now, wrestling fans remember supposedly the Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels ladder match was the greatest ladder match of all times. This made them look like a couple of fucking pussies. They had three ladders. At one point, somebody ate, I think Angel ate a ladder face first. She was splashed on a ladder that was put between the guardrail and the ring apron by Mercedes from the top rope. Mercedes had a ladder close on her hands. She was hit in the mouth. This went for 40 minutes all over the place. Also involved a kendo stick that wasn't untied, a metal tray, a bunch of chairs, even a fan. So this was fucking insane. It was like 40 minutes. I think it's available on DVD at WSU.com. You have to see this. I mean, it's the type of thing where if you buy this, you don't like it, I'll fucking buy it off you. That's how good it is. And the undercard was no slouch either because our good buddy Primetime Amy Lee beat the shit out of LaTosha and Tina San Antonio. I mean, it was like... Some guys came up just to see Amy, and they were fans. I mean, holy shit. She just pummeled the two of them. So she won that triple threat match. Jana beat she made Marty Bell tap out for the second triple threat match. And Nikki Rocks and Jessica Havoc had a no falls anywhere, you know, whatever the fuck it was. Beat the shit out of each other. Visible welts all over each other, all over the building. Jessica Havoc got that one. And, you know, let me see what else is going on. The Boston Shore beat Jennifer Cruz and Sugar Freak Monique. Newcomer Athena from Texas, who looked really promising, got pinned by Naya, who was another up-and-comer from up here. And I don't know if I'm leaving anybody out or not. Oh, let me see. Sassy Stephanie and Alicia beat Rick Cataldo and Brittany Savage. So that was another one for Cosmo Club. I think I'm missing somebody. Damn, can't remember. So much going on. But you can get it at WSU.com. And it was a hell of a show. Shitty weather. It was over like at 10 o'clock. I left because it just got to the point where it was just too fucking cold.
It was too crazy. Yeah. Too nutty. Too nutty, yeah. Hang on, Pete. We got someone calling in here. You're on live with 42nd Street Pete.
What's up, guys? It's Griff.
Hey, Griff.
Oh, it's Griff. Hey, what's happening?
Going on? Not much. I just got Pete's post, so I thought I'd chime in and say hello.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Cool.
I just got home from work, and I'm half dead, and I figured out what better way to liven my evening up so far as to give Pete a holler and see how he's been doing.
Oh, we're lovely. I'm snowed in. I got all your stuff over here, you know.
There's more coming, buddy. There's more coming your way.
Gee, thanks. You know how much I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I didn't know what to get you for Christmas. So
when I do have that fatal heart attack, I'll finally remember you guys sending me all this shit, you know. It's a good thing. But you might like this because I already talked about the WSU stuff. Next show is going to be in March, and we're going to try. I'm pretty sure I can make it happen. What's going to happen next show is it's Mercedes against that chick Serena that cut her hair. But they're going to have a three-way uncensored tag match for the belts. And it's going to be Amy and Cindy Rogers, the Soul Sisters, and the Bell Saints. And what we're going to try to do is have all of them on at the same time and see what happens. So that'll be a first. But anyway, some fans have been asking me to cover certain subjects, and you know, I'm, you know, one obliging motherfucker, as we all know. So Nick had emailed me about, you know, would I be talking about any of the Franco films, whether I'd seen them on 42nd Street or whatever my take was on them. So, you know, something, actually I did a lot of this stuff. And you guys probably, what was your first Franco film, you guys, that you saw?
You know, one of the first ones, there was quite a few, was The Girl from Rio played here, but also Christopher Lee Dracula.
Yeah, we had talked about that. Well, the first one I ever saw was this awful Dr. Orloff, and it was on TV. I must have sold a package of the stuff to TV, and I don't think nobody really knew what it was, because I didn't see it in the theaters. It was like 62. So that was pretty creepy. But here's one that was back in 68. Now, you got to figure, I'm coming up with you know, years that might have been whenever it released over in Europe. They don't really specify this stuff. So you got to figure, give it a couple years leeway our way. Because with Succubus, they used to say, when they ran an ad in the newspaper, they'd say, call the theater for the name of the film. It's too controversial. And it was like this really weird film with the Jeanine Renard, who is this French actress. She's done hardcore stuff, too. And, of course, you know, these Euro guys, Jack Taylor and Adrian Hubben. I had seen this. You know, it's one of those things where, Franco, sometimes you can take and believe him, you know. And it was okay. It was one of those hallucinogenic murder, you know, stripper topless type deals. It was cool. And, you know, I like the chick, Jeanine. She was pretty hot.
Well, you know, some of his stuff is just like crazy zoom lens stuff that used to freak me out, man. I liked it, though, but it was just like, golly, I mean, sometimes it would get so zoom happy. It was, I think, the most overuse of a zoom lens almost ever.
Yeah, well, then, you know, the funny part is he gets decent people to be in this stuff. Because I had seen, like I said, I had seen Succubus. It was like an adults-only deal back then. I probably was 70 at the Liberty, you know. And then he did those Fu Manchu ones. It was Blood of Fu Manchu, but I didn't see it in the theater. I saw the other one, Castle of Fu Manchu. But, you know, it was released as Kiss and Kill over here because the chicks had that venom and stuff. And, you know, again, he got some halfway decent actors in it. Shirley Eaton, Richard Palucius from the Spaghetti Westerns, Cy Chin, Richard Green as, you know, Nalen Smith. You know, if you were into that, you know, that whole Sax Rohmer thing with the paperbacks, they were pretty popular when I was a kid growing up. You know, Fu Manchu was the big Oriental villain. Of course, Christopher Lee played Fu Manchu in both films. And the second one, it was something about freezing the oceans, and he had Rosabella Neri, one of those hot Euro chicks. And The Night of the Blood Monster, I'm trying to think that was Bloody Judge. Didn't Griff, you probably noticed Blue Underground put that out, didn't they?
Blue Underground put it out. Yeah, it's got Christopher Lee in it.
Yeah, it's Bloody Judge, right?
Yeah, Bloody Judge.
Yeah, Christopher Lee and Howard Vernon. He got Kinski to be in a lot of this stuff. Venus and Furs in 69. Shit, what was the other one? The 99 Women that they sell. I had seen it as Island of Despair somewhere. But that's, you know, like I said, you know, you're going back into the my really drug and alcohol experimentation days. So that's like all a fucking blur.
The Diamonds of Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, it was another one.
Jungle movies.
So. Yeah, that was he was doing that stuff. It was Janine Renard again and Rosanna Yanni. Those Red Lips, the detective ones. They were like, I guess they were a comedy type thing. So I remember them popping up now and then. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Of course, I went over that whole Count Dracula thing. You know, Christopher Lee said that was his favorite portrayal of Count Dracula.
Well, I think it was the most authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the most. It was at the time. It was the most. It was the one that was closest to the Bram Stoker book.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
The hokey ending fucking killed it, though.
Well, it was definitely not. Yeah, real perfect.
Yeah, because you know, I'm following. I'm trying to get some kind of order. I was trying to think of the way I'd seen these things like coming up. Like Eugenie was another one. Kiss Me Monster was another Red Lips thing. You know, when it was on the, you know, thing, thought you were going to see a monster movie, and you didn't, and you got pissed, and you left.
Yeah. Well, they used to do that to us a lot.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people walk out on fucking, they walk out on, you know, the Amato films and Franco films. So they don't get it. The real fucked up one that he did was Barbed Wire Dolls, though. That was a perennial favorite at the Liberty. And at the same, you know, I think it was around the same time he did Wanda the Wicked Warden, and he got Diane Thorne to be it, you know, trying to like reprise the Elsa character, and they released it over here as Ilsa the Wicked Warden.
Right.
They were running that at the Liberty. But yeah. Those two, like Barbed Wire, you've seen Barbed Wire Dolls, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really sick.
It's awesome.
Electric shocks. Bedpans underneath the chicken shit. Yeah, he Franco's prison stuff is really nasty.
It is. He knew what to do, though. I mean, and let's look at it. You know, he did a lot of weird stuff during that era, like those weird Oasis of the Zombies. You never knew what the hell he was going to do. From one minute it was like total sleaze, then it was like kind of boring. I don't know what the hell he was doing.
That was fucking horrible. You know, I was just talking. I was on whatchamacallit, a radio drum show, and I was talking about video boxes, and somebody re-released Oasis of the Zombies as blood sucking Nazi zombies with this wholly misleading box cover.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Priceless shit, but yeah, how much of that stuff, you know? And then again, you know, Franco used to work under how many different names, like Robert Griffin, A.M. Frank, J.P. Johnson, Clifford Brown, Jess Frank, probably a lot more.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, you never knew. You never knew what the hell you were going to get.
And another one he did was that, you know, this is a guy who hopped onto every genre. Love Letters of a Portuguese Nun. He hopped into that. That was like, you know, on a nun cycle.
Right.
And Love Camp, you know, 77. And, the real bad one was, remember Sodomania? Where the most attractive, that women in prison thing, where the most attractive chick in the movie was a pre-op transsexual? Ajita Wilson?
Yeah. Those were fun.
Yeah, then he just started doing all this direct-to-video shit because, you know, you'd see that stuff pop up down, mostly the Liberty, because the Liberty was, you know, that, you know, almost like a Eurosleaze showcase.
Right.
Which it had, you know, it just seemed like, you know, if you read the Sleazewood Express book, certain theaters seem to showcase certain things that I'll agree with because I had seen some of that. But then some features used to bounce around with no rhyme or reason either. You know, you see these retarded double bills like Spirits of the Dead and Hell's Angel 69.
Right.
Made no fucking sense whatsoever. But, yeah, I'd seen that over, you know, a lot of that over there. Like, I think his big kickoff was the Orloff thing, though.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But, you know, and the weird thing is he really has a knack for getting, like, fucking names into these things, into this horrible stuff. Some of his best stuff, though, was when Harry Allen Towers was producing the stuff.
Oh, well, that was because he had a little money, a couple of bucks. You know,
the Fu Manchu stuff and a couple other things. Because they also did that John Moxley film, Circus of Fear, which I really like. And that was another one, Christopher Lee, Kinski, Leo Glenn, Victor Madden, those German guys, Eddie Art, that dwarf Skip Young. You know, it was a whole mix of like these West German English actors.
Yep, yep.
And some other people thrown in. And that used to run, that was bouncing around here as Psycho Circus.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
42nd and stuff. So, you know, that's another one, you know. And again, it was all basically bouncing out of the Liberty, because that's where all the import stuff came into.
You can get all that stuff for Blue Underground. They got that.
Yeah, you see, he had a box set, the whole, the two Fu Manchus, Bloody Judge, and Circus of Fear. It used to be a box set. I don't know if it still is.
I think Blue Underground still has it available. I think I seen it on the site not too long ago.
Well, you know, also I'd like to point out here that he also made these like crazy ass movies like that people didn't even realize he was making at the time. Some Emmanuel type stuff he was putting out too. I mean, he was making every kind of thing, and every freaking other month someone's digging one out, like Maya Communications or somebody, and they're putting out a just for, and you're going, wow, this guy's endless. This just endless.
No, I figured it out. He did something like, he did over 190 movies, and he wrote over 160 something movies. Jeez. And he's still doing shit, though. He's another, like, you know, he's like Ted Michaels. He's still, you know, Ted's still doing stuff, but, you know, Jesse, you know, I guess you get, you know, maybe because it's in Europe or something. I think a lot of this stuff, you get money from the state or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of shit, you know?
I think you used to, for sure, yeah.
A lot of that's funded.
I don't think so much anymore, but back then it sure was, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, and that's, yeah, that's my Franco expertise. I'm not really a, you know, a big fan. Some of, like, you know, the other one is this Cannibal film that, you know, it was on. Shit, did they run that over here? You know, there was so much crap coming in the 80s, and that's when I was married, and I didn't go that much. Every once in a while, I'd go over with the boys, but it was usually a fucking strip joint or a peep show or something. And my old lady knew I did it, because it's just like I just get warmed up by the time she got home, you know, so bang, it worked. But,
well, he did Devil Hunter, didn't he, with the big crazy...
Yeah, Mandingo Manhunter.
Yeah, with the black... Bug-eyed,
yeah, that was a
thing running around.
He did another one. I, you know, I don't think it's listed, but Blue Underground put out this thing, Cannibals, and I think that was him. It was really fucking horrible. It had autopsy footage in it.
Oh,
yeah.
For a guy that hated that genre,
I remember seeing, because they were pushing that. You know, once that stuff started, you know, getting over, like, you know, you'd see like Man from Deep River. And then people would talk about it, and people would keep going. So they keep popping that in the bottom half of Double Build. And like the same thing when Jungle Holocaust, which I the original title I think was Last Cannibal World. And then they changed it to Carnivorous, and they used to run that over there, and they banged them two up. And it was like, holy fuck. So anything that had cannibal in it, you could put over there, and people would go, oh, it can't be any more fucked up than the last one. Then they got Cannibal Holocaust, and people were like, well, that just did it, you know?
Yeah, you're not going any further.
I fucking flatlined everybody's ass over there. I mean, I know Make Them Buy Slowly came out after that, but it was like, you know, the ad campaign was what fucking sold that one.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't top, for sheer depravity, you just couldn't top the Cannibal Holocaust.
Well, that's the truth. Or, yeah, there was just so much in there, you know.
So, Nick, that's for you. And never let it be said, I don't listen at times. And, you know, our buddy the Cool Ghoul was asking me about war movies, Italian ripoff sequels, this and that and the other thing. Well, we could address that shit, too. Because, you know, it's funny, because, like, The Dirty Dozen was in 67.
And you know what, Pete? Let's hold that for after the break, and then we'll get into that whole genre, because I know that's going to take us a few minutes. So let's jump into our break real quick, and then let's bring that right when we get back.
Okay, I'll take a bong hit.
We'll be right back.
Like me. Slip into my sheets, lover. Dirty Laundry on Jackalope Radio. Every Saturday, 10 p.m. Central. You naughty Jackalope.
Whoa! That was a crazy bumper. You guys didn't get to hear Pete and Griff, but that was a bumper for Dirty Laundry, which is coming on here in just a bit after this show. And wow, great bumper. Great job, Joe. I think it's a good one. And welcome back, everybody, with the man of the hour, the Deacon of Debauchery, 42nd Street Pete. And we were just getting ready to talk about some Italian stuff, weren't we?
Yeah, Italian stuff and war flicks in general, because the cool ghoul brought up a point. Because I said, you know, like, I'm open to shit, you know. And, you know, as far as ripoffs go, well, you know, like I said, the Dirty Dozen was in 67. And everybody thinks that spawned that whole, okay, soldiers behind the line and stuff. But actually, it didn't. Because there was a bunch of gritty stuff in the 50s. And both of them, I remember, this was AIP stuff. I don't think you can find this anywhere. There were two war movies. One was called War is Hell and one was called Hell Squad, both directed by Bert Topper. And War is Hell was the one where these guys were in Korea and their sergeant found out the war was over but wanted to get more medals, so he didn't tell the men, so they kept on going in and getting wiped out and shit. And Hell Squad was the one where they were trapped behind enemy lines. And the only name, if you want to call it a name, that was in there was Wally Campo. From Machine Gun Kelly and Beast from Haunted Cave. He's done a bunch of other shit, too. I actually think he's still active.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, this was, you know, the group of soldiers started to care about and they get picked off one by one. Same with Men in War in 57 with Robert Ryan, Aldo Ray, L.Q. Jones, and Vic Morrow. You know, another one where we were trapped behind the lines in Korea and shit. So what the Dirty Dozen did spawn, and the Magnificent Seven also spawned what he's like, you know, copycat movies with groups of guys that, you know, ensemble cast, unlike the Stallone one, Expendables, where nobody got fucking killed, where, you know, they build up a cast, like, you know, like Magnificent Seven had, they go from one to one to one, and you actually cared about them, and then at the end of the movie, half of them are fucking gone. They're dead. So you felt bad. Right. Same with the Dirty Dozen, you know? So that's why the Stallone one blew. After I saw it the second time, I'm like, why do you think this is good, Pete? It's really not.
And I liked it.
Well, it's not, you know, fucking people have to die. It's entertaining, damn it.
I liked it.
You know, an ensemble cast is a cast where you give a shit about them, and then you get your fucking heart yanked out because they, like Charles Bronson dying with them Mexican kids around him and shit, you know? Come on.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
You know, things The Dirty Dozen spawn were like the Inglorious Bastards. But now here's something cool. You know, Corman beat him to the punch in 64 with Secret Invasion.
Hmm.
Yeah. And again, this is all like a select group of, you know, behind the lines type shit. You know, sometimes they're criminals, like Dirty Dozen, they were criminals. Inglorious Bastards, they were criminals. Then there was, you know, you go into the Italian ones, a lot of them. You see, you know, they advertised Kinski, but what you didn't know was he was a German.
There you go.
Yeah, because you thought he would be on the good guy. So he was always a heel. He's always a German. And here's another sleazy one. Remember the Dirty Seven?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was real sleazy. Because here's another bunch of commandos. Half of them get wiped out, and there's seven left. And they rape some kid, and they kill her. And it winds up that's Laura Gemser's sister. And she gets a little provocative in this one, but, you know, little by little, she lures him to their death. Now, Bastards played on 42nd Street. So did Secret Invasion. They ran it. Even when I was coming over there, they were banging that on the bottom of a double bill sometimes. With a newer war movie, like, I'm trying to think what would be coming up. Because I remember seeing Battle of the Bulge in a theater, too.
Wow.
That was, you know, another ones. Here you go. Telly Savalas, Bronson, Henry Fonda, you know, all those guys.
True.
So the war movie was always a staple. The Italians, you know, I think it might have been Anzio that was Italian with Robert Mitchum, Peter Falk, and a couple other guys.
Huh.
That might have been Italian. I gotta check. I bought that one. But yeah, a lot of this, you know, war movies were great grindhouse stuff, and I saw a lot of them over there. There was another one that was good. Okay, remember Castle Keep?
Yeah.
That's a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I saw that on a, I think I saw that at this place called the Embassy Theater on a big panoramic screen. That was good.
And that's the way to see it, too.
Yeah. But, you know, the whole thing is with any of these movies, like you go with The Magnificent Seven, okay, they've done it with bikers. They've done it with biker women. They've done it with gladiators. You know, here's a funny one. They did it reverse in 1967 with Enzo Castellari's Payment in Blood, which was also Seven Winchesters for a Massacre, where the seven were the bad guys.
Right.
And they all had a specialty, who killed with his spurs, who killed with this, who killed with that. And it was Ed Burns from 77 Sunset Strip.
Yep, yep.
No, was it Route 66 or 77 Sunset Strip?
Hmm.
God.
Now you got me thinking, too.
I'm getting too fucking old now. I forgot that shit, and I grew up with that.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
But that's
now I'm lost. Thanks.
Ed Burns. I know, Ed Burns. He was in a couple. He did about three or four spaghetti westerns. And Guy Madison was in this too. You know, he was a 50s cowboy. A lot of guys, you know, like I said, you know, before, a lot of guys that, you know, weren't doing shit over here could get work over there because they needed that, you know, that Anglo name up there to get it some, you know, more press. And, you know, the killer part was he did another one before that called Kill Them All and Come Back Alone with Chuck Connors and Frank Wolf. Another reversal too. Getting stuff, so. They were pretty, you know, they pretty much, they would do things. The other guy, Sergio Corbucci, did it with the Hellbenders.
Oh, yeah.
Another group of bad guys that, you know, one by one they got picked off.
They got taken out.
Yeah. The Seven, you know, the Magnificent Seven spawned that. You know, it spawned that whole deal. And, you know, it also spawned itself four sequels, which are all grindhousey.
Well, of course, yeah.
Because I never saw the original on the big screen. I saw it. They threw it on TV. But the Return of the Seven, Guns of the Seven, and Magnificent Seven Ride. I also saw all grindhouses.
That's awesome.
So that was cool shit, you know.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. And then there was another question about something about there's another, you know, another movie that was whored out. Last House on the Left. You remember? Was that 72?
Yeah.
Okay, because something about roughies. I wasn't really, you know, I don't know. You know what it is? You see, you're 72. I was probably, 19, 20. So my mindset isn't where it is now, where a roughie wouldn't arouse me back then, so I wouldn't be interested. But now I'd be interested because I've had too much straight sex in my life, you know?
Listen to you.
Yeah. But as far as that goes, that was originally meant to be hardcore, and it would have been a hardcore roughie. Now, I don't know what the parameters were because Deep Throat was also 72. So now we're breaking ground. Now, whether anybody wanted to break ground really fucking hard or just do the comedy thing with Deep Throat was the whole deal. So I think that's a little bit maybe why – this is just a theory I'm coming up with it. Maybe why they backed off and just made it like, you know, a hard R. Because most of the people, you know, Fred Lincoln, you know, he was a porn guy. He was in it. He was Weasel.
Right.
I think Hess, you know, had done softcore maybe. I don't know. One of those chicks that, you know, was raped supposedly did a bunch of hardcore shit or did something. So, and like I said, Cunningham and Craven were, you know, had shot hardcore.
Of course, yeah.
So it had all the earmarks of being there. But, you know, roughies, you know, those were, you know, there was that whole femdom thing and the Olga stuff. And they were basically down on 8th Avenue, like, the, you know, in the Cameo and, you know, what turned into the Venus and the Capri. That sort of catered to, like, that fetishy thing where, well, the Venus. That's right. I told you, I saw that horrible fucking roughie film, San Francisco Ball, there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. For those of you who don't know, I've only seen this once. I something weird had it. I don't know if they got it anymore, but I wandered into this place by accident. It was the Eros 2 then. It hadn't turned into the Venus, and I was like shopping for memorabilia about half a block away. So it was raining, and I ducked in there, and I'm like, oh, I'll see some fucking smut. Well, basically, it was a kidnap, rape, torture film, you know, softcore, with these guys, like, you know, cutting these chicks up with switchblades, beating them, raping them, fake blood, guys standing around with, you know, limp dicks, which is even more unnerving because they weren't getting anything up. And these chicks just laying on the ground covered with blood. Well, this is a real fucking, you know, libido buster. So that was what was passing for roughies back then. I'm sure there were more that I'm not familiar with. But, you know, the Olga things were basically those B&D things with Audrey Campbell, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago.
Right.
So that was a whole different ballgame as far as, like, you know, it was not Times Square, but it was down the block, all those places. And they were all right. They were little, you know, all the places used to be old theaters. You know, that was what they were. They held several hundred, you know, seats.
Yep.
You know, some were real big and, you know, opulent. But they all had that velour, that burgundy velour or purplish interior, because it was always dark. You know, you don't want to go in a theater with the fucking walls painted white. Just don't. It was dark, and, you know, that's the way it was. Because, you know, the whole thing was, you wanted it that way. Because I remember a couple of the places still had the curtains that opened and closed between movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, you know, weird clientele and, you know, whatever.
Well, hell yeah, you were there.
Yeah. Don't go in the men's room. Wonderful stuff. Just wonderful.
It sounds like it. But you know what? That was a different era, and it was I got to tell you, I missed that era, because there, when people hear us talk, I feel like, you know, I used to get so mad growing up because the old people, back in my day. Well, honestly, the truth is, there was variety then. We were able to hear, yeah, you know, go to the movies and see any kind of movie you wanted. I mean, I was talking, you know, sometimes I've read during shows, I've read old ads from the Empire Theater here, which was kind of our grindhouse, and from the old AMC theaters ads. Even, you know, these ads would be like, all right, there's a 10-screen theater, and man, every genre was covered. Now it's the same homogenized crap day after day. You know what? I'm so sick of PG-13. The entire American movie system is now PG-13 with a few exceptions. It's all the same.
Yeah, you know, I'm just sitting there going, you know, honestly, you get to a stage in life where you don't know how many years you're going to have left. So I said, you know something, why am I even bothering with this new shit? Why don't I just fucking go through my collection and just rewatch fucking everything again? You know? Well,
there you go. It's probably better for you.
Yeah, really. This stuff fucking blows. There's no soul to it.
I know.
I mean, even going back to this stuff, even some of these rip-off, you know, Italian war movies and stuff, and it was a bunch of them. You'd get them here, you'd get them there. Shit, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, but the thing was, even those were at least made with some kind of skill that didn't just have some guy out there shaking his freaking camera. Nowadays, I am so frustrated with the fact that if you've made a Pringles commercial or you made a music video for Kanye, you're offered a directing job. What? These guys don't know a thing about directing a film. So what? They shot a video or they did a commercial. There's a lot to learn between that and directing. I mean, you have a lot of actual aesthetics to learn. I know. I learned the hard way. I learned by mistake. You know, people don't know the line of action, the director's line. You're constantly seeing these movies. It's shot like a freaking someone with epilepsy is running up and down the stairs.
No, you know what it is? Everybody's trying to, you know, nobody's trying to be original. Everybody's trying to copy something that's already been done. You know, I keep saying this. Why don't you just come out and try to scare the fuck out of people instead of trying to be cute, you know?
True.
Scare somebody for a change. I mean, I didn't see that paranormal activity thing, but I see, you know, seeing people in the theater jumping shit. Make them fucking do that. Then you're doing something. If you're copying something, I mean, don't get me wrong. Even the Italian copycat movies were fun. I mean, look at all the Star Wars knockoffs there were.
I loved them.
You know, Star Crash. You know, when they did Conan, how many fucking Conan, you know, God, just think of this shit. The Road Warrior, you know, the whole Mad Max thing. You had Stryker. You had
Warriors of the Wasteland is my favorite
Warriors
one.
Warriors of the Wasteland, New Barbarians, Texas 2010 Gladiators. Oh, we should be doing that now.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
You know, they just, and all this stuff just popped up. I mean, I saw Stryker over there. You know, and Kill the Part was another thing. All that shit was cut to shit, too. There was a lot of stuff that was cut out of it.
Yeah.
What was it, After the Fall of New York? That one.
God, I love that one. I love all those.
Yeah. But that's what we got. That's what, you know, that's what the whole Mad Max thing spawned.
I know. Yeah, how nice was that?
Amazing how much shit that one just spawned.
God, it was fun.
And they all just kept hitting the movie theaters. And people were like, oh, new Mad Max movie. I'm like, no, I don't think so. We'll go see it. Oh, this fucking blows. Well, what do you want, you know?
It was great, though. Sometimes they were better than Mad Max in some ways. I loved Mad Max, but you know, whenever I saw Warriors of the Wasteland, I had more fun at Warriors of the Wasteland than I did at Road Warrior, you know?
Oh, Road Warrior just made me cream in my jeans, and I started actually driving like that for a while.
I love that movie. Don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, some of that stuff that they did as ripoffs of it, man, that stuff was good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I loved every minute of that. The other
fucking genres they ripped. Well, you know, the whole Star Wars thing was, I wasn't really into, well, here's another one, Alien. I mean, not only did the Italians rip it, look at that. I like that movie, Creature.
Oh, I love it. One. Yeah, I do too.
I really like that one. And I saw that in a grindhouse.
That was a cool flick.
That was a good knockoff.
Both of those were.
Yeah, that Alien Contamination with the fucking exploding.
Oh, dude.
That
sucker was at the Empire, and I loved every minute of it. I remember sitting there going, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah, but again, I saw that, and it was chopped. You know, they chopped away from that stuff.
Huh.
It sucked. That's why everybody goes, well, you ever mentioned that? Yeah, because I didn't fucking see it when it happened. It wasn't there, you know?
Damn.
People got to realize, you know, DVD's a wonderful thing, and, you know, God bless people like Bill Lustig and Synapse and them for, you know, restoring his things and finding the shit that was taken out. But you got to realize, guys like us, even Lustig will tell you, he saw the shit the way I saw it. He was missing shit, because that's the way we got it.
True.
You know, at least he's got, you know, the heart to track the shit down and put it together again. But look at, we were just talking about fucking, Phenomenon. That, they whacked 20 minutes right off of that before they released it in this country. As Creepers.
Yeah, I know. True.
Yeah. So, you know, we a lot of the stuff we saw was, you know, chewed to shit.
Man.
What's the missing reel? There was no missing reel. Footage.
Of course, you know, I did see movies with missing reels. I saw movies where crap would jump upside down for a while. That was the funniest thing, when you're watching a movie and it jumps upside down.
I've never seen anyone claim they lost an entire reel to a film and had the balls to show what was left. That's what I'm saying.
And they did it here at the drive-in a couple of times. I'll tell you what.
It's out by you, but they wouldn't do it out here. They showed Demons reel 3 and 4 out of fucking sequence. Nobody picked up on that because whole audience was full of dust heads. It's the truth. It was a Fabian Patterson. I don't even know if it's still there.
The whole
fucking audience was full of dust heads. What do you want?
Oh, that is too much.
Yeah. Nobody picked up on it for 2 days. I read that in the Gore Gazette. I think Rick Sullivan distributed this shit and he put it in. And these guys were like, oh, what the fuck?
You guys, that's nuttier than hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what was around here.
Well, they did that Kung Fu Zombie movie and the son of a bitch was only 60 minutes long and I knew something was wrong. And years later, I found out, well, the whole middle part's gone. You know, it starts out with Kung Fu and it ends with Kung Fu, but the middle part has that little subplot, the storyline, and that was completely gone. And who knows?
I never saw it. Well, you're more into that than I am. I know I saw it on a marquee, but I really had no desire to see it because that whole other bullshit when Bruce Lee's rising from the grave and shit.
I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm serious.
Well, that's more. Then you're more qualified to talk about those ripoffs than I am.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that Joe D'Amato directed that. Actually, because I'll tell you why. Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave is like this other movie that I recently found I've got on Netflix, and I'll have to write the name down for you. But they're basically when Kung Fu flicks were worldwide huge successes, you're talking about Italian ripoffs. The Italians got together with a bunch of Asian actors and producers, and they made these movies, okay? And they dubbed them anyway. So it's really funny, though, because you're looking at this and you start seeing anglicized names that sound familiar, and you got Joe D'Amato's name in half of them, and then you're starting to go, oh, wow, look, and there's Bruno Mattei, and all these people are involved, and it's hilarious because the editors are all Italian, and Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave was the first one I knew for sure was a full-on Italian production that they made look like it was a dubbed Chinese kung fu flick. Brilliant.
There was another one. I don't know if it was Italian or not. Roaring Fire, and Abdullah the Butcher was third bill on it.
Wow.
And he was in a lot better shape. He had a little mustache and everything. He was.
I'll write down
actually,
the one.
I think if I remember right, I think he actually does hold belts in some kind of martial arts thing.
Well, that'd be cool. Well, I will definitely write it down so I can.
Roaring Fire.
Yeah, I gotta let everyone know about that one.
That was playing on 42nd Street. Matter of fact, I think that's it. Some movie was shot on 42nd Street. And they caught a marquee. And it was like third. It was running there and actually had Abdullah the Butcher's name on the marquee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I can't remember the name of the fucking theater, but it was on. If you were walking up, it was on the left. Fuck. It wasn't the Harris. Could have been the Times Square or the Apollo. I'm not sure. I was on the left side walking up. Sorry, drunks don't remember details. I remember movies, but not details of the surrounding area.
That's awesome.
I remember the DEA, drunks enjoying alcohol.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, those were the days. But I will find out the name of that damn thing because I really want to know.
Which one?
I wanted to know if you saw it. This one that I've got on Netflix at home. I mean, it is so fun. But I just can't remember the damn
name. See if anybody's
name.
Got Roaring Fire on DVD.
I will. I'll check into that. I'll check. I got so much of that stuff. And I've been, you know, they've been releasing the Shaw Brothers collection. I've been getting all those that I can. I'm even getting them on Blu-ray if I can find them because I just absolutely love that. You know, there's nothing like the 36 Chamber of Shaolin. That kind of stuff is great.
I don't know. Maybe if I started delving into that again. But back then, I saw the essentials, you know. Chinese Connection, Five Fingers of Death, Flying Guillotine, Five Deadly Venoms, Queen Boxer, Fist of Fury.
Gotcha.
The fuck was the other one that was big? Deep Thrust, because that was playing where I might drive and where I was at.
Deep Thrust.
Yeah, I just seen a bunch of this stuff, but then it just got to the point where I got tuned out to the whole thing. Spaghetti Westerns were better for me.
Yeah, you're the man with that. You know that stuff.
Oh yeah, I know. The whole thing was even westerns back in this, you know, late 60s, early 70s, they were loaded with character actors. And that was what was cool about it, you know. Even the war movies too, they were loaded with character actors. So that was cool.
True.
That's where I was at. I didn't give a fuck about the lead. Who gave a shit about Tim Hunter, you know? I didn't.
You just wanted to enjoy the rest of flick, man. It was the feeling you got from it too.
I used to just look at the end credit because, you know, the God's honest truth, the bad guys were the guys that fascinated me. I wanted to know who they were so I could, you know, we didn't have IMDb. You basically had to look in the TV guide and hope, oh, Charles Bronson. How come it says Buczynski in it, though? It was before the name change.
Ah, gotcha.
So, yeah, so I was like, okay, is it the same guy? Then at one point, I thought him and Claude Atkins were the same guy. So I was a kid.
Now that's awesome. That is awesome.
Certain guys were like a lot similar, you know, in, you know, acting. You know, the funny part, when you look in The Magnificent Seven, going back to that, I mean, you had established already Brenner, and McQueen was hot and up and coming. And then it was like a jockey match down the road. You know, Bronson, James Coburn, Robert Vaughn. And then the two wild cards were that kid Horace Buchholz and then Brad Dexter. And Brad Dexter was the guy who got Charles Bronson involved. And, man, you know, nobody can ever, like, everybody trips over those last two because they weren't, like, really, you know, that hot.
Exactly. Holy cow.
Brad
was
around a lot. Brad was in a bunch of shit. He was around for a long time. He was actually a Russian named Boris something.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was around a long time. He was like 83 when he died.
That's true. So. Wow. I can't believe we're already at the end of this show, though. Jeez, this is unbelievable. We're close to wrap. I can't believe this.
Wow.
It flew by.
Yeah, I didn't really curse anybody out all night.
I know. We started out to curse some out people out, and we got sidetracked.
Well, yeah, I was giving them – yeah, I like to curse them out, but sometimes it's better to give them less attention because it's, you know, we're wasting valuable airtime with douchebags.
That's true.
Speaking of douchebags, pick up Douchebags and Donuts, Dennis Leary's new comedy album. Fuck what's on Comedy Central. This is worth whatever you pay for it. It's fucking hysterical.
It's awesome. It's awesome stuff.
Also, I got to pitch my shit. Go to alternativecinema.com, afterhourscinema.com. I got two new releases out. Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show Part 2, A Night at the Harem. Basically, four films are played at the Harem Theater on 42nd Street in New York.
Woohoo!
And the long-anticipated final chapter in the Extreme Sleaze Showcase series, Extreme Sleaze Showcase Volume 3, with a special midget section dedicated to our good friend Todd Sheets here. So they're available now, and, you know, probably, I don't know if on Amazon, but definitely at After Hours.
Man, I'll tell you what.
You probably get free shipping.
I got to check Hastings.
You're not going to find M2 in Hastings.
They might. You never know.
They're hardcore.
They surprised me, man. They surprised me.
Was my girls thing in Hastings?
Yep. Yep.
We did good. You know, I'm happy with that. You know, not that, you know, in a shitball economy, it performed well.
It did. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Probably was downloaded 5,000 fucking times, though.
Oh, probably. We'll get back on that next time.
No, actually, I can announce what's going to happen next week. I ran into Gary Kent on the internet, and, you know, we were going back and forth, and he's going to come on next week. And he's a legend, too, you know, stuntman, actor, writer. So right about now, it's, you know, pretty much a wrap. Gary's going to be on, so we look forward to that. Gary's a hell of a guy. We had him on my first panel at Wasteland, so we're looking forward to having him here and sharing some, you know, good times.
Exactly.
I told him it's uncensored, so let it rip, dude, you know?
Yep. Let it rip.
Yeah. Talk about Al Adams and things like that, you know. And starting out. Exactly. He's worked with a lot of great people, you know?
Wow.
Neville Brent and William Smith.
I agree. Well, hell, Pete, we better roll. Our end song's coming on.
Oh, I've been rolling all night. Rolling. Griff, thanks for calling in. Always glad to have you.
Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
And Todd,
always glad to be here, buddy.
Good show. And for all you who's out there, stay sick, and we'll hopefully have Gary Kent on next week, and we'll see you then.
Good night.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Oh.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. One more time, motherfucker. Everybody hates me now. pocket. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.